This is tape number 2 in a series. We urge you to listen to all the tapes in this series in numerical order so that the whole teaching can be received and understood. Listening to a part of this series or to the tapes out of sequence can lead to a misunderstanding of the nature, the intent,
all over the Bible. I'd like to have 1 month straight to just go through and start a foundation, have a bunch of people, you know, like you are right here, and just start and just keep for 1 month right there. And they don't get to go out in the world or the things in the world for 1 month, and we just stay right there and go through this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Some of you do it, wouldn't you? And the rest of you are going to want to before we finish tonight. All right, Revelation 12. We're going to look there at verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who's called devil and Satan. And what does he do? He deceives the whole world. Now, verse 15. And the serpent poured water like a river. You know, the Word of God comes out of God's mouth. It's coming out right here, right now. Satan has words that come out of his mouth. And what are these words? You see them right up here. These are the words that he comes to put you in. He tries to get these words. This is his river and flood he tries to get in your heart. But let's just finish seeing this. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth, right? That's the torrent you see, or the river you see in Matthew 7 and Luke 6 that come against the house. If you're on the wrong foundation, look here. If you have a foundation of sand right here, you're going to receive all these things, the works of the flesh. Amen? Is that right? But if you're standing on the Word of God, you're not going to be moved with this flood of words from Satan's mouth. Is that right? Shake your head. Because you're holding on to the testimony of Jesus, and if you're holding on to the testimony of Jesus, you're obeying the commandments of God. Is that right? Amen? Okay, now. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, the church, so that he might cause her to be swept away or carried away from the faith. Amen? With these flood of words. Amen? Now, let's look in verse 17. And the dragon, Satan, was enraged with the woman, the church, and he went off to what? He's going to make war with the rest of her offspring who... What? Who's he going to go to make his war with? Who do what? Who keep the commandments of God? May I ask you something? Who keeps the commandments of God? Those who are led by the Spirit of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, are the only ones who keep the commandments of God, because if you don't practice these sins of the flesh and keep the commandments of God. The saints keep the commandments of God. How do they keep the commandments of God? You see it. And holding to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Is that pretty good? Now, let's just see. I want to just refresh your memory from last night, because, you know, like I tell you, I'm real familiar with this, and because I've gone through this, but I want you to remember something, that we see the opposite of those, the whore harlot church that does not hold to the testimony of Jesus, but she breaks the commandments of God because these things right here of pride and malice and anger and all these things come out of our mouth. Now, let's just remember so you'll see where it comes from. Turn back to Mark 7. You go hold your place now. Turn back to Mark 7. Mark 7, verse 20. Now, here she is. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, we see him right there on the screen, that is what defiles a man. Now, I want to ask you something. Well, let me just finish this right here. Far from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornication, theft, murders, and adulteries. And here's deeds of coveting is coming out of their mouth and from their heart. There's wickedness as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. Now, let me ask you something. Now, look at me right here. Are these people right here holding to the testimony of Jesus? Are anyone who practices these things today holding to the testimony of Jesus? Are they then, does your Bible right there then say, ran? Amen? So if you have a doctrine and tradition that teaches you that you can practice these things, would they not lead you to be defiled rather than have a pure heart? Is that right? Now, I want you to don't disagree with me because I'm saying something. Yeah, I want you to see it. I don't want you to agree with me because I'm the one that's standing up here or whatever. I want you to agree because you see it. Now, when you're defiled, you are speaking words right here that break the commandments of God, which shows you're not holding to the testimony of Jesus. Now, let's just see this in context, because this is a whore, harlot, balancing church that defiles people instead of leading them to have pure hearts. Amen? Now, back up there, we'll see what we saw last night, verse 6. These are hypocrites. These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I do not have their hearts, but in vain, they are worshiping me in vain. This is a harlot, whore, church who draws near with their mouth, and their heart is far from the Lord. They speak, bless God, while they curse men, and they break God's law. He said, you're teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Let's stop right there and don't look any further for a minute. Let me ask you something. When you follow after the precepts of men and their rules, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you're saved, that's not beginning to look too good right there anymore, is it? You're not really holding to the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So then what will she do? This whore, harlot church, you'll lead you here to make this commitment, some kind of commitment, and you may or may not have the Spirit of God right there. But then you're not going to walk in it because you're going to practice breaking. You don't hold the testimony of Jesus and you don't fulfill the commandments of God, which we were seeing over in Revelation. So then right there, you're teaching as doctrines the opinions of men. And then verse 8, what does it say? Folks, hold up your hand if you see what I'm saying. That's not holding to the testimony of Jesus. This is a whore, harlot church. You are sinning today in the great falling away from the faith. You have to adjust from that. I'm telling you what, there's something wrong with the whole bunch of us. We've been asleep. That's what the great falling away is. We either come to the light now or you don't come to the light. You want to come to a little light and kind of hold on to some of these opinions and men and hold on to it. You're not perfected in love. You're not going to walk in faith and say, we're going to be holy. Well, we're going to be like Jesus. Well, you're not going to be like Jesus if you're not perfected in love and if you don't put to death the flesh. Amen? This old thing, these old general words, going to be like Jesus. Just speaking generalities and let's be nice and sweet. You understand what I'm saying? Neglecting the commandment of God, you're holding to the traditions of men. That's not holding to the testimony of Jesus. That's holding to the traditions of men. That's the whore, harlot, babbling church of the last day. She doesn't hold the testimony of Jesus. Her heart holds the traditions and opinions and precepts of men. He said, you nicely set aside the commandment of God in order to keep your traditions. That's the whore, harlot, babbling church who glorifies and boasts in her fleshly achievements while she fulfills the visions and dreams of men. All right, now, let's go back and read that verse again and see if you see what I'm saying right there in verse 17. Now, Satan, there's no use Satan making a war with somebody he's already got captured, is there? Amen? So remember now, we're back in Revelation 12, verse 17, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God. That's who he makes the war with, and hold to the testimony of Jesus. That's the very object of the whore, harlot, church of the last days. Now, I want you to look with me as you're holding Revelation 12 and 13 right there. I want you to look with me, and I want to give you an example of someone in Revelation right there who is this true church who holds to the testimony of Jesus. Does it take a lot of perseverance and endurance to hold to the testimony of Jesus? Folks, do you know the big secret in all this? Is really loving the Lord with all your heart. Do you know why all these tests come up and everything, which seem like impossible things to go through? It's impossible from man's point of view to go through all these things. But God has got these tests lined up so only those who are going to love Him with all their heart are going to make it through it. And the other ones who are not going to make it are just wanting God to be one of their idols. And when you walk in this thing and everything, you get to find out, like the children of Israel, that God has a provision for every need that we have. And it's a walk of peace. It's resting from your own labors. It's obedience. It's letting God be God. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? So it takes endurance. It doesn't matter what is it saying for James 1, 2 through 4. Count it all joy when these trials come up, because you're not really lacking in nothing, because it is there to perfect you and establish you and make you complete. Amen? He said you're going to be perfect finally. He's going to make you like Him. Because when you stand in these things like that, these trials like that, you're saying, God, I'm not wanting to please people. I'm not even wanting to please myself right here, because the people don't understand me being in this place. My motive in my heart is I'm standing right here to want to please You. And that's where the joy of suffering is. Amen? It's a fellowship. And you have an opportunity. See, it pleased God that Jesus suffered. And this is what He shows us over in Hebrews 5, about that we're going to suffer, and He suffered in with His and salvation, and He's given. I'm not going to turn over. I'm not going to get into that. Just strike that right down. Because I'm going to have to go get into too many things right now, and it's getting a little late. All right, now. So we're going to see who this church is. Let me change Bibles at this point right here. See, I'm in the midst of changing Bibles. See, this one right here is coming apart. And I can't even hardly read it sometimes. Now I've started this one. This is one with giant print. I use it when I teach healing to some folks. I don't have to wear my glasses. You have a big Bible and you have a big print. I tell you, I don't have any secrets. You know that by now, don't you? That builds your faith. I'm telling you, we learn a lot about these things, you see. Now, we're going to see about the perseverance, this true church. We're in Revelation 14. Now, folks, that's not really foolishness I'm saying right there. I'm just really, just I think in the midst of things like something that's serious right there, that just a little lightness and things like that is all right. It's not meant in any way to be disrespectful and not reverent before God. But I tell you what, this is a joyful time to find out that we're finding out the truth. And being joyful shouldn't hinder our repentance and things of that nature. But that's not really true what I said, and I'm going to have to repent of saying that I use this Bible so I can teach healing. I just did kind of pull something there, and I wasn't even thinking what I was saying. And you forgive me. All right, now, in Revelation 14, and I ask the Lord to forgive me too. And see, because you get into a bunch of things sometime, and the next time you think the Spirit of God's working all over the place, and then you get a little dart like that in there and speak it out there, and the next thing, the Spirit of God has left the place. The Spirit of God, you know this at peace is here right now. If you ever teaching and preaching, you start saying things, you know there's not a God right there and everything, you get that in there, and bang, the Spirit of God's gone. And then you got the powers of darkness all over the place. Amen? Now, we see there in Revelation 14, verse 11, verse 12. Here is the perseverance of the saints who do what? Who keep the commandments of God and their what? When you keep your faith in Jesus, you will keep the commandments of God. Is that correct? Now, we're going to come back over there, but I want you to see, is that opposite of what we saw the folks over there in Mark 7? Amen? All right, right now. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Why, write, blessed are those are the dead who die in the Lord from now on." Are we supposed to die in the Lord? Amen? See, it's interesting how many different ways you can read the word, because it's talking about the perseverance and faith in Jesus and keeping the commandment to die right there. But so, well, let's just see what it says. Blessed are those who die in the Lord. Are you blessed when you die in the Lord? That's where the blessings come. Amen? And that's what in Christ is. So blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may what? I can't hear you. You enter into holiness, which is a walk of holiness, a holy walk, which we see in Hebrews, and that's from where you rest from your own works. Amen? And it's all Jesus, right? So you rest from your labors, for their deeds will follow them. And now we're talking about the deeds right there. We're talking about, let me just, I'm going to quickly just touch on these, because I think I need to do it to establish, and rather than skip that verse, I wanted to use it right there, that, for example, I'm going to just look back, hold your place in Revelation. If you want to do this quickly, if you're quick, turn back. If you don't, just sit there and listen, because we've already used the verse. I'm going to use in John 12, you know, 20, into the earth and dies. Now, this is how you die in the Lord. And there is a actually physical death that you can die in the Lord also. Amen? In either case, you're going to rest from your labors. So it's no big issue one way or another. And it's going to be perseverance, and you're going to keep the commandments of God, so it doesn't change the Scripture one way or another if you belong to the Lord. So I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains by itself alone. But if it dies, it's going to die in the Lord. It's going to bear much fruit, which is love. He who loves his life, once again we see that fleshly life, loses it. But he who hates his life, fleshly life in this world, because he sets his mind on things above, shall keep it to life eternal. Amen? And then, you know, while I'm in it, I want to just see those scripture there in Hebrews 4. Since I mentioned that, I think I need to have this all in there. Just turn back to Hebrews 4 just quickly. Folks, I'm not going to be too long before finishing right now, but I want to have this all tied together. This is our last night, and right, like I'm saying, I don't think anything more important to do right now, and I'm really sensitive about things that we, other things and obligation, commitments you have to do, but I want us to see these things. Now, in Hebrews 4, verse 9, you know we've already seen, well, let's just see it real clearly right there. Chapter 4, where let me find 1. Therefore, we've been talking about possessing a land, and then chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, let us what? Let us fear, yes, while a promise remains of entering his rest, his resting place, any one of you should seem to what? Come short of it. Now, and how do you enter into that resting place? We see it, verse 9. Now, there remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That's when you cease in the works of the flesh. For the one who has entered his rest, when you cease in the works of the flesh, you have a hedge around you, and that's how you have peace and rest. Amen? Has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. And when you rest from your works, you're dependent on God. Is that correct? So that's just obedience. And folks, let me stop and tell you, this is all grace and obedience, and I want you to know it's a work of God, and it doesn't. This is something you get in on, and I'll tell you what, you look at the book of Acts for that church that you're supposed to be like. Don't let any patterns pop up. And when you get where you love the Lord with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself, you can say, that's it. This is it. All right, now, while we're there, let's see what this church is going to be made of in Hebrews 12. Let me just do that quickly. I want to show you what this heavenly Jerusalem is going to be like. We've been talking about Jerusalem. And Hebrews 12, and we're going to see what Mount Zion and this heavenly Jerusalem looks like, verse 22. But you, verse 22, Hebrews 12, 22, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. It's Mount Zion, it's the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the myriads of angels, to the general assembly, and what is it? That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the firstborn who's enrolled in heaven unto God, the judge of all, and who's going to be in this church? To the spirits of righteous men who are what? Folks, does that sound like sanctification right there, having a pure heart? Hey, folks, don't make anything real complicated out of this thing of going in to have a pure heart and all the obstacles. There's no way. People trying to do it out of the flesh, that's what they're not resting from their works. It's trusting God in these situations and having their mind put on God and living a different life, which is a life of love rather than a life of selfishness. All right? Now, I just thought I'd mention those things. Then that's how you're made perfect in the Lord. Now we're back in Revelation 12. I skipped a verse about in 12. You know, he said, I want you to read this verse to you. In Revelation 12, verse 17, and the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring. Now, who are the offspring? Who is this church? The ones who keep the commandments of God and what? They hold to the testimony of Jesus. That's how they keep the commandments of God. Isn't that right? So they're not swept away by the flood. So he makes war with them. And so how did they overcome them in verse 11? And this church right here who keeps the commandments of God, they overcame because of the blood of the Lamb at the victory at Calvary, a place to put sin under the blood, and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their fleshly life unto death. Listen to me, folks. They didn't love their fleshly life in this world. You do not practice the deeds of the flesh. And when you do not practice the deeds of the flesh, you don't break God's law. And when you're not breaking God's law, you're holding to the testimony of Jesus. Do you see that? That's how you overcome. Now, what else are we going to do? See, that's the very opposite of the harlot, whore, church who's going to be... Isn't it very simple how she's going to be swept away now with the flood? Because she doesn't hold to the testimony of Jesus, and she practices these abominations. And the abomination that makes desolation will come in to her because she's standing on a foundation of carnal doctrines. It's sand. And they'll come in and they'll put all of these thoughts right here because she's not standing where. And they'll fill her heart full to speak all the things that breaks God's law and all the chains and bondage and fortresses will come in there, and she's going to be destroyed by the flood and the fire. Amen? Now, so when you don't love your life, flesh your life unto death, that's how you lay down your life in John 15, verse 13, and then that's how you fulfill the commandments of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. That's how you perfect it in love. You fulfill the commandments of Jesus, which fulfills God's law. Amen. That's the rest. Okay? Now, in Revelation 13, let's begin looking at this beast. Now, how many first know that the sea and the flood is a place where all the powers of darkness... And look at me in Revelation 18. I want you to... In Revelation 18, we know that she is a stumbling block. And in verse 21... A strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea. And we know that sea is the flood and its powers of darkness. Thus will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with what? Violence. And not so that's the powers of darkness. You know, the powers of darkness are the violence that's going to throw her down. They're the sea. Now let's just see if you look back over in verse 8, you see this sea. You see this sea of fire. You might want to call it a lake of fire. Look in verse 8. I'm not ready to call it a lake of fire. I'll call it a sea of fire because I'm seeing another lake, okay? Lake of fire. So I'm going to retract that right there because I won't call it a lake of fire unless there are two lake of fires, okay? Now, and look at verse 8. For this reason, in one day, her plagues will come. Here's your violence. That's violence. That's the sea of violence. There's pestilence will come, and mourning, and famine, and she'll be burned. That's the Bible. Amen? Amen? So that's the sea of violence right now. So we know in this sea, now look at me right here. In this sea, what it's talking about is the enemy, the powers of darkness. Amen? Anybody have any problem with that? Hold up your hand if you do, because you're just looking at me like a calf in your gate. Do you have any problem knowing that the sea is sink down in violence is the powers of darkness? If you see that, hold up your hand. That's a lot easier than having you shake your head, isn't it? Okay, now, I want you to look in chapter 13, verse 1. And he stood on the shore, and he saw a beast. Can I tell you, that's them. They're coming out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his head were blasphemous names. Now look at verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. Can I ask you something right now? First, are the whole earth following after the beast, the powers of darkness today? They're doing that. Well, let me ask you something. Was his head crushed, Satan's head crushed at Calvary? And then when Babylon, the whore harlot church, goes into darkness, he comes back alive because they don't put their foot on his head. Amen? Now that has, when a church does not become, when a church does not become church, his wound, he's already defeated, but if they don't stand in it in the Word of God, then he comes back and destroys the whole earth. Amen? Jesus has already come here and defeated him. Amen? How did he defeat him? He crushed his head. Amen? Okay, now let's just continue. And they worshiped the dragon because he gave their authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast. Now, I want to ask you something. I want you to look right up here at this thing right here. When the powers of darkness are leading people after nature and character of Satan, they're putting their thoughts in their mind, and then when you walk in the image and likeness of Satan and his image, who are you worshiping? Satan. That is all the judgment of the law is about, and is that what the true church repents from when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? Is that right? And they're saying, who is like the beast and who's able to wage war with him? And then verse 7, and it was given to him, that's the beast, the powers of darkness, to wage war with the saints and overcome them. Has that been what's been happening? Has that been what's been happening? Have they been overcoming? They've been overcoming because the church hadn't been the church. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him, and all who dwell on the earth will what? Worship him. Is that exactly as the whole earth right now worshiping the powers of darkness? Amen. Now, let's finish. Everyone whose name had not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who had been slain. And everyone wants to say of Babylon over and say, well, my name's written in there and I'm not worshiping, and they are worshiping because Satan is the king of Babylon. That's his throne. Jesus' throne is in the heavenly Jerusalem and Zion. You look over in Jeremiah 3 and you see where his throne is. The throne of Jesus is in the church. Amen? The true church. Amen? Praise God. Now, look at verse 10. If anyone is destined for captivity, or your margin right there, if you look at it, it says, are led into captivity. How can you be led into captivity? Folks, you're led into captivity by following the deeds of the flesh. Amen? Let me tell you another way. By being led by the nature of Satan. Amen? If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity goes. If anyone is killed with a sword, which is a curse, with a sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints, because they're not the curse and the sword. The captivity is not going to get them. Is that right? All right, now, that's the perseverance of the saints, and that's where we have the hedge around us. Now, look in verse, you know something? I'm going to stop for just a little bit here. I'm going to have changed Bibles. I want to show you something about where the fire does not touch you. I'm going to have to go a little further first. I know a place I want to get to before I read this to you. That's where we'll end it at. The fire doesn't touch him. And verse 11. I saw, now this is not the saints. Here is here's the false prophet and the false church. And horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. Look at me, folks. That's Babylon. That's the whore. That's a harlot. She comes in sheep's clothing, but inwardly she's wolf. She looks the words of Satan, the dragon. She speaks like the dragon. She bears the fruit of Satan. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, that's the opposite of keeping the commandments of God. That's the other beast. You know why they're all called beasts? That's what Satan is. That's what the powers of darkness, the son of destruction. And that's what the church is. They're the image and likeness of beasts. That's the reason. Because when she walks and produces this fruit right here, of a form of godliness right there, that's who she's the image and likeness of. You see what I mean? That's why she's called another beast. She's the image and likeness of Satan and the powers of darkness. Because she produces the fruit of demons. Hatred, envy, jealousy, the other spirit of the devil. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen? All right, now. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. That's the whore harlot church, and it had two horns like a lamb, and it spoke as a dragon, and he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And see, it's in the presence of the powers of darkness there, and it has authority, and he makes the earth and those who dwell on it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. Now let me ask you something. Does the whore harlot church, who teaches a form of godliness, bring you in and causes the whole earth to be slain and teaches sorcery and causes you to produce the fruit of the flesh, which is causes you to worship and bow down to the powers of darkness? Is that the fact? It's not complicated, is it? It's not complicated at all. Let me read it again. He exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose fatal wound was healed. And this, that see, were the powers of darkness defeated at Calvary? Does a true church overcome them by the blood of the Lamb? Buddy, they've got him under their feet. Is that right? But this one doesn't. His fatal wound is healed. He was done in at Calvary. But if you're not standing in the Word of God and standing on the Word of God and standing in doctrine, when you know they're not going to overcome, you can't overcome. So now, and he, this is a false prophet, this is a whore harlot church, performed great signs so that it even makes fire come down out of heaven in the presence of men. Do you know what happens? Now look at me, folks. Do you know who sits the harlot whore church? Do you know over in Matthew 24 that says even the very elect could be deceived by these signs? Is that correct? All but the elect are going to be deceived by these signs. And they're going to call fire out of heaven. There was a meeting just here the other day of what is the women chapter of the full gospel? Women's Aglow, who sent out a letter that one person that they had to minister there. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I mean, I've watched some of these things. If someone ministered there, they just wanted to warn the people that it was demonic manifestations that were there. But see, you can call fire out of heaven. You can call the wrong fire out of heaven. You can call the fire of the powers of darkness who can make men look good. And a doctrine, see, what did the man over in Matthew 7 do? He performed miracles. He did miracles. He prophesied and he cast out demons in the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, I never did know you who continued to practice not keeping the commandments of God. The law wasn't being fulfilled. You practice the sins of the flesh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen? So, you can have the wrong fire. Because, see, if you got the boastful pride of life, let me just give you an example. This is what Satan, one of the temptations that Satan, if you've got the boastful pride of life, you will never lead people after the Spirit. The powers of darkness have got you, and your heart's seeking pride and recognition. So you'll be led, you'll want the approval of men. And when you want the approval of men, you'll lead them after fleshly achievements to do the and the ways of the world to do the work of God. You understand what I'm saying? Now that's what the boastful pride of life does. Because the boastful pride of life wants to help God out. Why, it gets about 30% of the glory. That's how the blind lead the blind to the pit. Folks, this is not complicated, is it? Not supposed to be. Now, verse 14, and he deceives those. This is a, you know, I'm going to have to read just a little bit right there. Hold your place and turn back to Matthew 24, because we can't go this far and you not have this clear in your mind. You've got to have this clear, and I'm just going to take just a minute. Now, Matthew 24, and I want you to see this clearly. Verse 1. And Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciple came up to point out the temple buildings. Now, I want you to circle those temple buildings. Where are the temple buildings today, folks? We got a temple. If you don't understand it, you're not going to understand what he's saying in this chapter. The temple's being built today. This is something I wish I'd had time in. You know, that's go buy a book, and it's in the last chapter about building a temple last days. Isn't that a good idea? Now, verse 2. And he answered and said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one what? I can't hear you. In the last days, are we lively stones? It's going to make up a spiritual house, the temple of God. But that's the old. He's showing them the old is going to be torn down, and we're going to have some new kind of temples. Some new stones are going to be put together. This is what he's telling them in a parable right here, okay? And he said, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your what? You're coming at the end of the age. And Jesus said to him, see to it that no one what? Misleads you, because you can be misled about the coming of Jesus. For many, that's, and it could be the harlots will come in my name saying I'm the Christ or the body of Christ. And what are they going to do? They're going to mislead many. And look at verse 7. And nation will rise against nation, kingdom, a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom of light. And in various places there are going to be what? There's going to be a famine of the word, and then the earthquake where the powers of darkness are turned loose to come against the foundation in the very last days. Amen? Now we're talking about the coming of Jesus. But verse 8, what does this say? But all these things are just the beginning of what? The birth pang, that's a torment, and hell that the powers of darkness come in a spiritual earthquake. If you're standing on the wrong foundation, everything, only those things that cannot be shaken are the only things that's going to stand. Amen? That's if we saw the perfect spirits, if I kept reading over in Hebrews 12, you would have seen it a while ago. Amen? And they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations on account of my name. When persecution comes in the name of Jesus, people walk out of the flesh, you're going to hate those they won't participate in. At that time, many are going to what? I mean, they're falling away from the faith. And they're going to deliver up one another. Are people hating one another today? All of, instead of the unity of the faith, they're hating one another. And many what? There they are, the false prophets, false preachers, false church. What are they going to do? They're going to mislead many. And what are they going to lead them to do? They're going to lead them to break the commandments of God instead of holding the testimony of Jesus. They're going to lead them into lawlessness. And because what? What is that word? And because, verse 12, lawlessness is increased, people walking after the deeds of the flesh, because this is where the false prophets are going to mislead people, to lead them after the nature and character of Satan, after the flesh. Amen? They're going to lead them there because loyalty increased. Most people's love is going to what? Look at me here. It's going to grow cold, because when a doctrine leads you into lawlessness right there, they lead you in jealousy and selfish ambition. When you're practicing these deeds right here, the nature and character of Satan, you're in self-love. You're living for yourself. You're not walking to love your neighbor. You're walking in self-love. And then that's how your love grows, because lawlessness is increased. And that's what the doctrines lead you to, doctrines that do not conform you to godliness. You practice the sins of the flesh, and your love grows cold. And you hate one another. Amen? Now, that's what the false prophet and the false teaching, this is what this whore harlot over here will do, because that's how they lead you to worship demons. Which we see in 1 Corinthians 10, you take the table of the Lord and the table of demons for this many a week, sick and the number asleep. When you take the covenant of the Lord, the supper of the Lord, you're renewing death. All right, but the one who endures to the end, verse 13, he is the one that does not turn back. He does not fall away. He overcomes. Amen. But the one who endures to the end, he's the one that's going to be what? He is the one who's going to be saved, if that's what I've been telling you. Now, in verse 14, this gospel, what we're talking about right now, circle this gospel. It's an eternal gospel of the kingdom. You see it in Hebrew, in Revelation. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all nations, and it's being preached right now, and then the end is coming. And it's not going to be long. You're already in Revelation. Verse 15, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, that is the powers of darkness which was spoken of through Daniel, the prophet standing in the holy place. They're in the holy place, and that's what 2 Thessalonians 2 talking about. Let the reader understand, and then you better flee to the mountains and so forth. And because 21, it says, then there's going to be a great tribulation. And then it was talking about the tribulation. Unless, verse 22, and unless those days have been cut short. But if anyone says, here is Christ, or here is the body of Christ, there he is, do not believe him. For false Christ or false bodies of Christ and false prophets arise. They're going to show great signs and wonders so as mislead, if possible, even the elect. Let me tell you something, folks. They can call fire down out of heaven. They can minister from spiritism and divination and witchcraft. And smile and cry and quote scripture like I do, but they don't teach and preach holiness. They talk about the cover being holy and maybe that little thing that hangs down there being holy and all that stuff, but they don't know about holiness. They don't teach it. If they don't teach it, they're not teaching the divine nature of God to overcome. Now, verse 29. Well, no, while we're there, let's just go ahead. They deceive, mislead, if possible, even elect. Now, that's that false prophet that comes up out of the earth. That's the beast that comes up out of the earth. And then verse 27, for just as lightning comes from the east and flashes even the west, you read over in Amos 5:18. Well, read all Amos. And flashes even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And that's that flashing. He's coming forth in destruction. Wherever the corpse is, that's the dead body is, there are these birds of mid-heaven, the vultures are gathering. You hear what I'm saying? What's that? The second word? I can't hear you. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and then they'll see what? They'll see what? They'll see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he sends forth his angels with great trumpet, and they'll gather together his what? Elect from the four winds. All right, now, we're back over in Revelation. Now we saw, I want to read 12 and 13 so you won't lose your thought right here. Verse 12, and he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence. He makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the powers of darkness, the beast, whose fatal wound was healed. You understand that? And he, this is a false prophet, the false church, performs great signs, though they even cause fire to come down out of heaven in the presence of men. And that's the signs and that we're seeing right there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he deceives those who dwell on the earth. Can you understand it? Only the elect are the only ones that can even see through this. You understand? You have to have a heart for the Lord. You have to have a heart for the Lord. Then you know what the Word said, because they've been a family of the Word. Then we see what the Word says. Then we're going to start purifying. When we purify ourselves, then we're going to just spot. Isn't that right, brother? We're going to spot it. We'll spot it all over the place. Right now, you can't. It's at this present time. Now it's hard to tell what is false and what is true. You start walking in this and purifying your heart, and you're going to pick it up just wherever it is. You're going to pick it up. You'll hear it, and you'll quick and you're going to know. But you're not going to be able to relate it to anyone else because they're not going to understand what you're saying unless they know the Word of God. And they're not going to love, know the Word of God unless they love the Lord with all their heart. Now, that, I don't care what family or friend, and that's how the Word's going to separate in your family. You've got to love the Lord more than your family, wife, brother, children, husband, more than nice folks. Let me say it again, nice folks. And old-time religion. Now, verse 14. Now, here's what this whore harlot church does. He deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which is given to him to perform in the presence of the powers of darkness, the fire, the beast which are there, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and come to light. Now, look here. Let me show you something. Now, what they do, they're performing the signs of the water and they make an image. They make an image for you to come and bow to. Right there it is. It's doctrines that do not conform you to God. It's why the signs and wonders are there to draw you. Then the image of the beast. They have you to do the precepts and opinions of men, and you bear the fruit of Satan instead of keep holding the testimony of Jesus and the commandment of God. And you're bound to the beast when you produce that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, and they see the powers, see if the signs and wonders, the false signs and wonders look very attractive. But see, because the people have not learned to know false teaching by their what? Fruit. But until you start having the people that remnant start cleaning themselves up, they're not going to have any discernment about what's going on around them, are they? Huh? Have we all been deceived one way or another? I don't think none of us have anything we can brag about except the grace of God, can we? If we're seeing anything in the Word right now, it's the grace of God, folks. Don't you think this has just happened? And this move is gathered around Jesus. When I leave here, I'll go on to the next place. I don't have any following, don't want any. I'm finding a way myself. I'm part of the body of Christ. I've just got a part. That's all I want. I don't want nobody else's part. And this is the reason I'm led, and I want to stay, instead of doing a sermonette, And these things, I want you to get this because I want you to be a success in Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? And you go give yourself to others. You don't be, just a big buzzard where you just get revelation for yourself all the time. You want to share and give it to others. Amen? That's exactly what it's about. Now, we're back home there. Verse 14, and it deceives, verse 14, 14 and 14, 13 and 14, he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which is given him to perform in the presence of the beast, the powers of darkness, and making those who dwell on the earth to make an image of the beast who had the wound of the sword and has become to life. And he has come to life there. And then we look there in verse 16. And he causes all, the small, the great, the rich, and the poor. This is the whore harlot church today. They cause the rich, the poor, the free man, the slave to be given a mark on the right hand and on the forehead. You know what that is, folks? It's the harlot's forehead. You see, the opposite of a harlot's forehead is have God's name written on, which we're fixing to see in the next chapter. You have God. You know what God's name written on your forehead is? You know they used to carry the word right there on the front of their foreheads? It's having the mind of Christ. People who practice the deeds of the flesh right here, they have the mind of Satan. You hear what I'm saying? That's a harlot's forehead. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you know what this whore harlot does? She's saying, by my own strength and by my own right hand, I'm going to enter into heaven. In other words, God, I'm my way into heaven. God, you're obligated to receive us the way we want to come. See, that's the harlot whore. She's got another way besides the cross to come into Jesus, taking up her cross. Do you know what I'm saying? And she causes people to receive this mark. It's the mark that the powers of darkness come along and recognize because it bears this fruit and the powers of darkness move on those and they sin, as much as they've sinned against the Lord, we're not guilty. In other words, we have ground. Okay. Now, we're going to see who has the mark of God. That's what we're really interested in, isn't it?
Boy, this is so clear and so plain. Get one of you on clear out of this place so you can throw a fit. Chapter 14, verse 1. And I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion. Did I tell you where is Mount Zion? That's the church of Jesus Christ. He's standing there. That's where he's thrown in. And with him 144,000 having his name and the name of his father written where? They have the name written on their foreheads. And you look at verse 3. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and elders, and no one could learn that song except the ones who had the mark of God. They're the ones that love the Lord with all their heart. 144,000 who've been purchased from the earth. I often say I believe that song is Jesus is Lord, and all the ones that can sing is the one that know it. Amen? Now, I want you to see who the ones that have the mark ahead right now. I want you to stay with me, and I don't no one wrong from leave me right here. I want you to see this. These are the ones that have the mark of God. These are the ones who have not been what? Have not been what? Look at me. Look at me now. Everybody look at me right here. Did we see that when you, it's not what comes out of a man, it's what comes out of his heart, it's what defiles a man? Is that exactly what we saw? And when you bear this fruit, is he defiled? Is this what we saw the harlot whore lead you to do? And you do not keep the commandments of God? You ignore it. You hold to your traditions and do not keep the commandments of God? Is that right? Is that the opposite of the ones who hold the testimony of Jesus and keep the commandments of God? So the harlot whore, it leads you to bow to the image, and then you have the image of the beast. Isn't that right? That's defiled because you bear the fruit while you bless God, and then you're going to curse your neighbor, and then that's who James 3 and 4 said the adulteress is. Is that correct? Amen? All right, now. Now, the ones who have the mark of God have not been defiled with the woman, this whore harlot church. She's not been unequally yoked. That's the reason the Lord says, my people come out of her, right? For they have kept themselves what? They've kept themselves pure. They have a pure heart. They've not been defiled. They've kept themselves pure. Amen? The nature of God. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. Glory be to God wherever he goes. And they follow the Spirit of God, leads them wherever Jesus goes. Amen? That is the church of Jesus Christ. That's the one that have God. Isn't that good? And then, these have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb, and no lie was found in their mouth. Now, where is a lie? Where do we see over in Colossians 3, 9, it said they're no longer walking after... Oh, dear me. Let me read it to you right there. Mind set on things above. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, General Electric Power Company. Colossians 3, part... Therefore, consider the member of your body as dead to impurity, passion, and evil desire, greed, and idolatry. It's on account of these things the wrath of God to come. And in these things you once walked, you don't walk there when you were living. But now you put aside all anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self which is flesh with its evil practices. Now you see what I'm saying? No lie is found in their mouth, because that's what the whore harlot church practices, but this doesn't practice it. And so, no lie was found, verse 5, we're back in Revelation 14, well, no lie was found in their mouth, and they are what? Blameless. That is the bride that Jesus Christ is coming from in Ephesians 5, 27. He's coming for a holy, blameless, without spot or wrinkle bride, who have been perfected in love, who have the nature of God, who keeps the commandments of God. Amen. Without the sanctification, no one shall see the Lord. They're blameless. They're pure. They're not defiled with a whore harlot woman. They are the elect. Amen. And look in verse 6. And I saw another angel flying in the middle of heaven, having an eternal gospel. There it is, folks. Here's that gospel that's going to be preached. It's the eternal gospel to those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe
and tongue and people. Amen? And he said with a loud voice, what does that gospel say? Fear God! Are you learning something about the fear of God here tonight? Fear God, that's the gospel. The whore harlot church is blind. She can't learn to fear God. She's asleep and never wake up. Fear God and give Him glory because the what? The hour of His judgment. What is the hour of His judgment? The hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. And another angel, second one, saying, fallen, fallen, destroyed, Babylon. She's made all the nations and the world. She's that whore, harlot, church, the false prophet who makes the nations drink of the wine, which is a teaching, and she teaches passion and immorality. It's a very obvious. Galatians 5:24, it says, those belong to the Lord Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires or immorality. Because immorality is spiritual immorality, to walk and talk like the world. Wine is a teaching, they drink it. And verse 9, and another angel, a third one, following, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worship the beast and his image, that religion, and receives a mark on his forehead and on his hand, he is going to drink the wine. The wine is the word of God, or the wrath of God. He'll drink it, which is going to be mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he's going to be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel, the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment if they worship this image, if they don't separate themselves from all of this image and harlotry and horror, and the smoke of the torment. This is for the bride. They're going to be a remnant. They're going to be few that's going to find the gate because narrow is the way. And the smoke of their torment is going to go up forever and ever. And they're going to have no rest day and night. And the hedges down on the whore harlot churches, they don't have no rest day and night. There's no peace there. Those who worship the beast, that's the deeds of the flesh, and his image, which is the harlot, it's the harlot whore doctrine. And whoever receives the mark of his name, having the mind of Satan instead of the mind of Christ. And verse 12. Now we see these verses we looked at. Here is the perseverance of the saints. It's opposite from Babylon, who keep the commandments of God, and their faith in Jesus or the testimony of Jesus. And we've already seen back in 12 that they overcome the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony, and they do not love their fleshly life unto death. And therefore, they do not worship the image and become like the image and likeness of Satan and the beast. Amen? So now let's read the next verse. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They are blessed, they're not cursed, who die in the Lord. From now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And that's fear, lest you come short of this. What we saw in Hebrews 4. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds will follow. How many believes you're in the very last days right now? Now, you know what we've been programmed? We've been programmed to let judgment, anything that comes off that sea, look here, we had our experience right here. We received the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God is the walk. Salvation is a walk for Jesus. You're saved right here, and the way you know you're going to be saved, because you're going to overcome. If you don't overcome, that Spirit of God's going to leave you. But not if you fall down or stumble or something like that. You don't. You know, as long as you really, you have a desire in your heart to really, you know, don't let the devil tell you all a bunch of lies and everything like that. As long as you're seeking the Lord, and that we're all seeking Him. That you don't get under any condemnation about the things of the Lord. Let me get down here. Folks, don't receive any more lies in your mind from the devil or be condemned that you never can do it. You're being very, very foolish not to recognize from what source you're learning what you're learning out of the Word. Who's given us this revelation that we're seeing in the Word of God right now?
If we could fulfill the law without Jesus, it wouldn't even need for him to come, would they? Is that right? So then, obviously, is this the whole gospel? Is the more things we're going to learn about the Word of God? It's victory in Jesus, folks. And every time you suffer, you're going to do it with joy because you're pleasing someone you love with all your heart, God. Because the only ones he wants in heaven to be his sons are the ones that's like Jesus. That's the reason you're going to love one another just as he loved you. You can't perfect that love in you. Now, I don't want to come up here and say some words that explain a way that you're going to have to walk in obedience. You're going to have certain power. I don't want to explain that word. Now, don't you start reading something in here. Don't get out of one ditch and jump in the other one. Amen? Salvation is a walk. Now, what we've got to do, you don't come to Jesus, and you don't have your little experience. I don't call it a little experience. You don't have your experience right here, and then go over, and then after a while, you don't start sloughing off the Word of God, and when you hear judgment, you'll walk right out the door like, what, shake it off just like duck off water off a duck's back or something. Don't do that. You've heard something from the Word of God tonight, and either you're going to take it to heart or you're not going to take it to heart. And if the Spirit of God's in it, he should have ministered you, and it should not condemn you. It should encourage you. If I'm asleep and death on me, and I'm asleep and I'm just got one foot in hell, I'm thank God to know about it. Because what we're pointing to right here does not gather around men or anything except Jesus. Amen? Wouldn't a man be a complete fool to teach a message like this, and since they try to point you to something else? Amen? Now, you have business to do with God. Do you believe you have business to do with God? Or is it something you want to go back to the farm, the oxen, the business? To see if I just think all kind of scripture I'd like to go back to, but I mean, anymore. I hope you come over in December and there's a meeting. We'll just go through this 3 days where we're not distracted and things. But there's a lot more we're going to learn. There's a lot more that God's going to show us in that Word we don't know. But right now, I'm going to tell you what you've got to do. You've got some repentance to do. Let me just say it over here. All of us have got some repentance to do. Now, you believe, did it kind of sound like off the wall when I was telling you about Joel? I didn't even get the chance to get in Joel and some of these other places. Now, we just were here 4 days, and that's the reason I had to... Are you seeing now why I kept you a little late all the time? Was it good to get to this point? What about the people that dropped out? I couldn't have shared with you tonight what I shared with you. Who knows whether the Lord ever leave me even come back here again. It may not leave Bob to have me back here again. You don't know. And so I just don't do what the Lord leads me to do. Amen? I'm going to tell you something, folks. You're never going to have that real experience on the front end unless there's a real repentance in your life. You're going through a form of God right here and never even received the Spirit of God. Never did even have him. Come and walk down the aisle to know. They just a casual, just pick up the Bible once a year and know, doubt their salvation. Well, let me tell you something. I really believe that Bob has some things to learn as well as myself. I believe every one of us has some place to learn. And I tell you what, I don't know what ways I can do it. But I really want to help people. But I don't want to miss God. I don't want you to miss God. I don't want blood on my hands that I wouldn't stand. And that's why I know you miss a lot of opportunities in a lot of places, folks. And I'm just saying this to your benefit, that you're going to miss some places too. Because I tell you, I've been so cornered in what I've been saying that it takes a supernatural act of God for me to get in places to share what I'm sharing, because the powers of darkness so lied against me. And old Bob right there came down to Houston down there. Can you imagine? He invited me to come here, flew down there. God told him, fly down there and talk to me. And that's something. With all the stuff he'd heard about me. And some things like that. And he said, he saw what my heart was. And he just got it. And right then, you know, we made a deal. We came here, and boy, we come here. And as long as we stay in the Word, people of God don't get upset no matter what people are saying. And that's the way I found him to be. But I want to tell you something, folks. The whole thing is this. It comes down to this. We have all been asleep. The wise virgin will come to light. There's a lot to look at. But you know the wise virgins are going to come to the light. The foolish virgins are going to be destroyed. Obviously, you know the foolish virgin has a foolish heart. Now, I'll keep you a little late here tonight, so far. And I'm going practically straight in another meeting, and they're long hours. And won't you know the truth? And I pray that you'll not be like I'm watching so many people receive the word with joy. And then when persecution and affliction comes up, you fall away. And when the worries of the world, deceit, and the riches come up, and you just go and leave what you've heard tonight, this week, and there's so much more. Folks, I believe there's a place with God that we hadn't even comprehended. You know, it's something just to come up and just have jumping up and down fits because of so much love poured out on us. We have been so rebellious. And so disobedient to God, folks, he's about to do something in this. And I'm going to tell you what, after you've suffered for a while, you've proven you want to walk the Lord, he's going to confirm you, strengthen you. He's going to establish you in his covenant. Jesus Christ is going to make you something you aren't. That's the only way that you'll ever fulfill God's law. It's all grace. I want you to know it's all grace and it's all Jesus, and you and I get in on it. Amen. Praise God.
This concludes the tapes in this series. This is a powerful message, one the body of Christ needs to hear and understand. For information concerning additional tapes, just write to Be Fruitful and Multiply, Post Office Box 3459, Palestine, Texas 75802. That's Be Fruitful and Multiply, Post Office Box 3459, Palestine, Texas 75802.